Okay. And thank you. And the last question, you were speaking about your employees, and and the earlier you spoke about, managing fear. So, what tips can you give to leaders on how to, keep people motivated to manage their fear, managing morale and addressing fear?
Oh, wow. That's a really good one. So I guess for managing fear, the first thing I do is I put myself in the shoes of the people whose fears I'm managing and try to understand what those fears really mean for them. Just as an example, my mother called me and said, "What are you doing? You work in KL Central. That's like zombie land. That's where everyone who's got the plague goes to work. And can you come home now?" And I'm like, "Why would I do that?" And then I think to myself, how many of these calls are the people around me taking? And then I talk to some of my leaders and they're like, "Oh yes, my staff's parents called me and asked me to send them home now." And I talk to them and I understand that, okay, that's what that's like. They're dealing with the same sort of fears that I'm dealing with. And I think understanding it is the first, is the key to first figuring out how to address it. The next thing is to help people understand that they're not alone in this fear. So a lot of people, the first thing that happens when they're facing fear is this isolation. And somehow people get it in their heads that this is a problem that affects them and them alone. And I think it's very important to refocus people and help them understand that they're not alone in whatever they're dealing with. And then once you start to understand these fears and you start to talk to them about it and help them see that they're not alone, then they start to open up and give you some real insights, some real ideas, or some real actionables that you can take and fix. For example, when we talked about people being fearful of getting COVID-19 when they're in a lift, some of them said, "Oh, but the ministry definition doesn't call for us to be quarantined if we come into contact with someone with COVID-19 in a lift, because it's normally just a few seconds. It doesn't reach the threshold of time needed." And they said, "But yeah, what if the virus is in the lifts?" And so we said, "Okay, we'll have our cleaners disinfect the lifts, and we'll make that a practice. We'll put these little signs on the floor." You're gonna laugh at this one. These little signs on the floor, George, where the person who's facing the door faces the door. The ones on his side have to face the wall. The ones at the back face the back of the lift. So you're not facing each other. So even if you cough or sneeze, you're not looking at each other. So the whole floor gets pasted with all these things. And we've told out the buildings that we work in, "Can you do this? Do this across all the lifts and help allay some of those fears people have of being in a lift," right? At work, they're saying, "Okay, so we want to achieve social separation, social distancing, and you say that you're committed to it. How are you going to do this at work?" And one of the beautiful things about having 80 plus 90% of the workforce at home, George, people in the office now are sitting really far away from each other because there is space, right? So the few that are stuck there, we've rearranged the whole office for them. They're seated, far away from each other. We don't open the communal eating halls anymore, so everyone is actually able to eat at their desks. We have specific places where their food deliveries can be dropped off, so they don't even have to interact with the food delivery guy. And because these are all the fears they talked about. Yeah, you tell me call grab food. What if I get COVID-19 from the grab food guy? You know what I mean? Yeah, then you can really start working on solutions with
So how do you motivate them?
to
So that's
address those.
addressing their fear. And so what you what, I really like what you've said. You understand their fear. I liked your example of how your mother wanted you to come home. I'm glad to hear that your mother loves you, by the way. And so therefore you're understanding the fear, then they're talking to you, and then you're taking action. How do you build morale, or how do you manage, how do you
Oh, remember I said that we're all in this together, and it's important to help people understand that they're not alone. That's the first step. The second thing is helping people understand what they're doing and how important what they're doing is, and how that contributes back to the society we're living in. When the Prime Minister's department classified call centers as essential services, a lot of people scoffed. But somebody has to remind everyone that, when you stop taking all those interactions for the airline, people who are stranded where they are and can't get their tickets or their flights to come back, people who are being kept away from their families, who are possibly in a worse position than we are, because like we're a few minutes away from home and they're probably stuck thousands of miles away. Who are we to say that we should stop doing that? How would we view the nurses, the doctors, the policemen, the military personnel who refuse to go to work because they're fearful for themselves? Who do we want to be in these trying times? It's really about who you want to be in these trying times. And that's when you start to see people light up and band together and realize, yeah, shit, you know, what we're doing here, this is really important. I saw this aha moments when people started to realize that it's not a joke what we're doing, it's really important. And that's when I started to see the morale come up. And, you know, there's even one particular girl who was quite the naysayer. She actually posted something on Facebook asking us why we don't care for our employees because we're working in the office, right? And that girl subsequently took down what she put on Facebook, and she's now one of my biggest advocates. She's like, you're totally right. And, you know, it's also about helping them understand that we do also walk the talk. I mean, George, we institutionalized forced temperature checks for anyone who wants to go into the office since January 21st. That's well before a lot of people did it. Mm-hmm. Our security guards would stick a colored sticker on you that changes color every day to make sure that they've scanned you at least once when you go in the morning. I'm spending right now, I just signed off a purchase requisition of 44,000 ringgit to buy masks for people, and we continue to provide these masks to people. We've tripled our cleaning services, our cleaning crews. We've increased our security. We've, you know, increased the frequency with which we clean all the doorknobs. You walk around the office and you see there's someone perpetually walking around with antiseptic spray spraying doorknobs and wiping them. And you see us doing this. And I just, you know, it's also reminding people that, you know, we're committed to taking care of them, and that they don't need to be so fearful, and that they should be proud to be a part of a company that's, you know, willing to do all this for them.
So what you're saying to me is, the last bit that I'm getting is you're actually, there's visible signs that you care. It's okay, one, to motivate them, say you're important, you know, how do you want to show up? But now you're doing something about it. You're spending money on the face masks, you know, there's a tripled your cleaning, increased the security, cleaning the doorknobs, you know, et cetera. Okay.